إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyya, the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, then we reached point number 206. وَنُؤْمِنُوا بأشراط الساعة من خروج الدجال. And we have iman in the signs of the hour, such as the emergence of the Dajjal. And we have iman, we truly believe in the signs of the hour, such as the emergence of the Dajjal. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, al-ashrat, this word al-ashrat is the plural of sharat, which means an alama, a sign. A sharat is a sign, a token, outward token, or a sign. And from this, the shurti, the policeman, is called shurtiyan because he wears a badge or a sign upon him. And the ashratu sa'ah, the signs of the hour, are its signs which show that it is soon going to happen. He, the one free of all imperfections, said, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَهُ فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا. Surah Muhammad, the 47th surah, ayah 18. With the explanation, are they awaiting except that the hour comes upon them suddenly? Then its signs have already come. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, commenting upon this ayah, so his saying, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ, meaning هَلْ يَنْتَذِرُونَ, are they waiting? They are waiting. Just as a side point, if we remember, under point number 58, we had the three different meanings of another. Of another. That it comes with three different meanings. Another illa, looking, if it has illa after it, it means looking at something with the eyes. And if it is another fi, it has a fi after it, then it means reflecting or considering something. And if, as occurs here, it doesn't have illa or fi after it, it's just on its own, the word nadhar or the verb from that, then it means, as here, waiting or halting. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ, meaning هَلْ يَنْتَذِرُونَ, waiting, are they waiting? And he's saying, بَغْتَتَن, for the hour to come to them, بَغْتَتَن, meaning suddenly, or unexpectedly, baghtatan, suddenly or unexpectedly. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, no one knows its time. I mean, no one knows the time of the last hour, except for Allah. He, the one free of all imperfections, said, ثَقُلَتْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَةً. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 187. With the explanation, the hour will be heavy upon the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, and its knowledge unknown to them. It will not come to you except suddenly and unexpectedly. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, and Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أخبرني عن الساعة. قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. قال أخبرني عن أماراتها. قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. He said, and Jibreel, in the famous hadith of Jibreel, Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me about the last hour. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who is being asked about it does not know any better than the one who is asking. So then he said, then inform me about its signs. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, the one who will be in charge of her, and that you will see the barefoot, naked shepherds of sheep competing in constructing tall buildings. The famous hadith of Jibreel, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 50. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the ulama, the scholars have mentioned that the signs of the hour are of three categories. The first category, al-alamatu al-sughra, are the minor signs. And these have already occurred and finished. Then he mentions the second category, al-alamatu al-wusta, the intermediate signs. And these continue to appear, like what occurs in our time, from the advancement of industries and means of communication, and extraction of the treasures from the earth, and towns becoming closer to each other to such an extent, then it is as if the whole world is a single village. And the gathering of the Jews in Palestine to await the Dajjal, and as a preparation for the great wars which will occur there. Perhaps the Jews mean the Jews gathering in Palestine to await their Messiah, who is of course the Dajjal, al-Masih al-Dajjal. When he comes, their Messiah will be the Dajjal. And Sheikh al-Fawzan mentions the third category, al-alamatu al-kubra, the major signs, with regard to the emergence of the Dajjal and the descent of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, and the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, these two peoples, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and the emergence of the Dab, the beast, and then the rising of the sun from its place of setting. So when one of these occurs, then the rest will follow on quickly in succession. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan said, and his saying, min khuruj al-Dajjal, such as the emergence of the Dajjal. He said, It is the first of the major signs. The emergence of the Dajjal, it is the first of the major signs. Al-Alamatul Kubra. And he, I mean the Dajjal, he is from the Jews. And he will claim Rububiyya. He will claim lordship for himself. And he will have along with him Khawariq Shaitaniyya. As we had in last week, the third category of miraculous things, things that look miraculous, things which are in miraculous events, which are just tricks produced by devils. Khawariq Shaitaniyya. He will have with him extraordinary phenomena caused by devils. And they will be a trial and a test for the people. He will command the sky and it will rain. And he will command the earth and it will bring out the treasures and the plants which are within it. And the Dajjal is the most severe of fitan. The Dajjal is the most severe of trials, because many people will be tempted and misled through him. Because of the severity of the trials which he comes with, how severe they are. And he will have with him a Jannah and a Nar. He will have with him a paradise and a fire. And he will proceed over the whole of the earth, except for Mecca and Al-Madinah. And this trial will distinguish between the true believer, the mu'min, and the kafir, the unbeliever. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, and he is called Dajjal, from Ad-Dajjal, from the word Ad-Dajjal. His name, Ad-Dajjal, or his title, Dajjal, is derived from Ad-Dajjal, which means Al-Kadhib, lying, falsehood or deception. Because of the great quantity of his lies. And he is called Al-Masih, Al-Masih, Ad-Dajjal. So that part of his name, Ad-Dajjal, is from the great amount of his lies. And as for the first part, Al-Masih, then Shaykh Fawzan said, is because he proceeds upon the earth, وَيَمْسَحُهَا, and he crosses it quickly. From Masaha to mean one who travels very quickly, one who travels upon the earth very quickly. So therefore he is called Al-Masih, one who can travel upon the earth very quickly. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, because of what Allah will have equipped him with from very fast means of transport, which are faster than the wind. Then he mentions a second saying about why this title, Al-Masih, a second explanation of why he's called Al-Masih. In other words, because the word Al-Masih in the language and the verb Masaha, it has a number of meanings. And as we can see, all of which can apply, all of these meanings that Sheikh mentions can apply. But the point is, which one is the reason for his name being derived as Al-Masih, his title being Al-Masih? So Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentions the second, he said, or it is said, he is called that because his eye is mamsuha, it's wiped, smooth or plain, meaning that he is one-eyed. Because the word in the language is used for someone whose eye is flat or smooth and plain, meaning the eye is not there. And as a side point, Shaykh al-Albani mentions, rahimahullah, in his brief notes, that there are some different narrations with regard to the eye of the Dajjal, which will be not present, it will just be flat, And there's some narrations mention the right eye, some mention the left eye. Sheikh Al-Albani mentions the most authentic report is that which is reported by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that it will be the right eye. The right eye will be smooth, not present. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and he is called Masihud Dalala, the Messiah of misguidance. The Messiah of misguidance. So the Dajjal will emerge and the Jews will follow him and he will lead them. And by means of him, a great test and trial will occur for the Muslims. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And there has been no prophet except that he warned his nation against him. And the one who most warned against him was our prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because he is the last of the prophets, and his nation is the last of the nations. And it is the closest to the time of the Dajjal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us after the final tashahhud in the prayer, أن نتعوذ بالله من أربع من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us in the prayer after the last tashahhud that we should seek refuge, we should seek Allah's refuge from four things: from the punishment of the hellfire, and from the punishment of the grave, and from the trials of life and death, and from the trial of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Then this hadith, as we've had before, is reported by Muslim. And it's from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when one of you finishes the last tashahhud, فَلْيَتَعُوَّذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعِ, let him seek Allah's refuge from four: from the punishment of the fire, and from the punishment of the grave, and from the trials of life and death, and from the evil trial of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah ta'ala, mentioned, so he will be a tremendous trial and a great evil. And then Isa, alayhi salatu wassalam, will descend from the heavens and will kill him at the gate of Lud. Isa, alayhi salam, he will kill the Dajjal at the gate of Lud. And Allah will relieve the Muslims of him. And then Isa will rule by the law of Islam, for he is a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there is no prophet after our Prophet, and there is no Sharia, there is no legislated laws after the legislated laws of Islam. There's no revealed laws after the revealed law, the Sharia of Islam. And then in his time, I mean the time of Isa alayhi salam, and then in his time, Ya'juj and Ma'juj will emerge. And they are also a tremendous trial. Allah the Most High said, Hatta إِذَا فُتِحَتْ يَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ. Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, ayah 96. With the explanation, until when the blockade of Ya'juj and Ma'juj is opened, and they rush down from every high place. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and they, meaning Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they are a nation from the nations descended, well, they're a nation from the nations who are from the descendants of Adam. I mean, they're people, they're humans. A nation from the nations from the descendants of Adam. And they lived in the time of Al-Iskandar, Alexander, Dhul-Qarnayn. And just as a side point, in case someone misunderstands, then Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, and likewise in his tafsir, Yarhamakallah, that what is meant here, obviously by Dhul-Qarnayn, and if he is referred to as Shaykh al-Fawzan, referred to him as Al-Iskandar, Alexander, then what is meant by that is not the later one, not the later and well-known historical figure, Alexander, the Macedonian, the Greek, not that one. It's somebody who lived a long time before him, centuries before him. Dhul-Qarnayn is not Alexander, the Macedonian, who's famous in history. It's someone before that. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and they lived, the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they lived in the time of Al-Iskandar, Alexander, Dhul-Qarnayn. And he built a great barrier to hold them back. Allah the Most High said, فَمَسْطَاءُ أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَسْطَاءُ لَهُ نَقَبًا. Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, ayah 97, with the explanation. So they, meaning the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, after the Dhul-Qarnayn had built the blockade, the great barrier to block them in, so they were not able to climb over it, and they were not able to tunnel underneath it. That was what Qatada said in explanation of this ayah. They were not able to climb over it, and they were not able to tunnel underneath it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the same thing. He said, so they were not able to climb over the wall, and they were not able to pierce it because of its strength, because it is made of iron and made extremely strongly. However, when Allah's promise occurs, when Allah's promise happens, then He will level it to the ground. And then they will emerge. And they will cause havoc upon the earth. They will ravage or cause havoc upon the earth. And no one will be able to fight them. And then Allah will destroy them in a single hour. Then comes the next point of At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, continuing with the signs of the hour. He said, وَنُزُولِ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And the descent of Isa ibn Maryam عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ from heaven. I mean, we have iman in that as well. I mean, we have iman in all the signs of the hour, such as the appearance of the Dajjal, and such as the descent of Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, from heaven. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and he is called Al-Masih, the same word, Al-Masih, here with regard to Isa. He said, he is called Al-Masih, the Messiah, or the one who wipes, because he wipes with his hand over the sick person and Allah cures him. It's the first, Shaykh al-Fawzan, like, just as he mentioned, how the name Al-Masih was applied to the Dajjal, then likewise he mentions how is it applied to Isa, alayhi salam. So he said the first meaning is, it's from Masaha, Yamasahu, wiping. He says because of the fact that Isa used to wipe his hand over a sick person, and Allah would cure that sick person. And he is called Masihul Hidayah, the Messiah of guidance. I mean, just as we had that, the Dajjal is called Masihul Dalala, the Messiah of misguidance, then Isa alayhi salam will be called the opposite, Masihul Hidayah, the Messiah of guidance. And the fact that he will descend from the heavens to the earth at the end of time is something mutawatir. It's something reported by a huge number of narrators at every stage of transmission. So it is something mutawatir. And whoever denies that, then he is a kafir. He is an unbeliever. He, the Most High, said, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd Surah, Ayah 61. With the explanation, and he, Isa, will be knowledge of the coming close of the hour. He will be knowledge of the coming close of the hour. Some of the people of explanation mention meaning that when he appears, then people will have certain knowledge that the hour is close. They've seen him, so now they know for certain the hour is close behind him. So it's as if he himself is knowledge. Shaykh al-Fawzan then said, and in one recitation, وَإِنَّهُ لَعَلَمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ In one recitation it's recited, this same ayah is recited, وَإِنَّهُ لَعَلَمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ With the explanation, and he is a sign for the hour. This recitation with a fatha on the ayn and the lam, meaning that he will be a sign indicating the closeness of the hour. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and Allah, the one free of all imperfections, said, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 159. With the explanation, there is not one of the people of the book except that he will certainly believe in Isa before his death. And as Ibn Jarir al-Tabari mentions, meaning before the death of Isa. There is not a single one of the people of the book except that they will believe in Isa before the death of Isa. And likewise, At-Tabari mentions in his tafsir, meaning from the people of the book who are alive at that time. The people of the book who are alive at that time, when Isa alayhi salam descends. Not the people from all the ages before, the ones who have passed away. I mean the people of the book of that time. Then back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, mentions, he said, and that will be at the end of time. Since he is now alive in heaven. He is now alive in the heavens. Isa alayhi salam is at present alive in the heavens. And he will not die until the duty which he was entrusted with has been completed. Then he will die. And he will be buried upon the earth. After he has killed the Dajjal. And killed the swine, the khinzir, killed the pigs. And he has removed the payment of the jizya. And he has judged by Islam. In other words, Isa alayhi salam, contrary to what the Christians say, he has not yet died. He was born, he has lived, and he was raised to the heavens. Allah the Most High saved him from the plots of the Jews and raised him alive to the heavens. And he is now at present still alive in the heavens. And he will descend. And then he will live upon the earth, as the Sheikh mentioned. And when he has fulfilled his duties, with regard to killing the Dajjal, killing the pigs, removing the jizya tax, and judging by Islam, then he will die upon the earth and be buried upon the earth. Then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he mentions another sign. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِطُلُوءِ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا وَنُؤْمِنُ بِطُلُوءِ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا And we have iman in the rising of the sun from the place where it sets. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, the sun is subservient, the sun is under control, and it orbits by the command of Allah. It comes out from the east, it appears from the east, and it sets in the west. And then at the end of time, when it is time for the last hour to be established, Allah, the one free of all imperfections, will command it to rise from its place of setting, to rise from the west. So this will then be a sign for the resurrection. And when it has risen from its place of setting, then Allah will not accept the repentance of a person who tries to repent. He, the one free of all imperfections, said, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا قُلْ انْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 158. With the explanation, do they await except that the angels should come to them, or that your Lord should come to them, or that one of the signs of your Lord should come. On the day when one of his signs comes, on the day when one of the signs of your Lord comes, then a soul will not be benefited by having iman then, by believing then, if it did not believe before, or earn good deeds along with its iman. Say, wait. We too are waiting. And just some side points with regard to tafsir of the ayah. Then it's authentic that from Qatada, At-Tabari, rahimahullah mentioned from Qatada, with his chain of narration to Qatada, that he said, with regard to the coming of the angels, إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Are they just waiting that some angels should come to them? Then Qatada said, meaning the angels of death. Are they waiting that the angels should come and cause them to die? The angels of death should come to them? Or that your Lord should come to them? Then Qatada again said, meaning on the day of resurrection. Are they waiting for the day of resurrection when your Lord will come? And as for the coming of one of the signs of your Lord, then there's a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith 4,636, and also reported by Muslim from a hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself explained this ayah to mean the sign, meaning the rising of the sun from its place of setting. Sheikh Al-Fawzan then said, so the unbeliever will accept Islam. I mean, on that day when the sun rises from its place of setting, the sun comes up from the west, then the unbeliever will accept Islam, but Allah will not accept his Islam. And this sinful person will repent. However, his tawbah, his repentance will not be accepted. Will not be accepted, as is clear from this ayah. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 158. Then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he mentions another point from the signs of the hour that will take as the last point today, inshaAllah. وَخُرُوجِ وَخُرُوجِ دَابَّةِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ مَوْضِئِهَا, and in the emergence of the beast of the earth from its place. In other words, we have iman in this sign as well. And in the emergence of the beast of the earth, dabbatul ard, from its place. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he, the one free of all imperfections, said, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ. Surah An-Naml, the 27th surah, ayah 82. With the explanation, and when the word of punishment becomes binding upon them, as Ibn Kathir mentions, meaning at the end of time, when the people are corrupt, people are totally corrupt, they've abandoned Allah's commands and altered the true religion. So when the word of punishment becomes binding upon them, we shall bring out of the earth a beast for them to speak to them, because the people did not have certain faith in our signs, in our ayahs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this dab, this beast, will come out, and it will brand or mark the believer and the unbeliever. He will make a mark upon his head. It will brand him, the believer and the unbeliever. Meaning, place upon him a sign by which the rest of the people, he will place a sign upon him through which the people will recognize each other. So that when they address each other, this one will say, O Muslim. And this one will say, O kafir. In other words, from a sign that the Dajjal, from the sign that the Dabbatul Ard, the beast of the earth, has put upon the head of each of them. A sign upon the believer's head, and a sign upon the unbeliever. Then they'll recognize each other. So when they speak to each other, the believer will recognize the unbeliever and say to him, O unbeliever, and he'll say, O Muslim. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the meaning of the saying of Allah, Tukallimuhum, it will speak to them, literally, it will speak to them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, with miraculous speech, with speech that is a miracle, miraculous speech. And we do not have any established narration about the place where it will emerge from. And just that Tahawi mentioned, from its place, and he didn't say where that place is. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned the same point. He said, we do not have any established, any authentic. There's narrations, but nothing authentic and established. He said, we have no narration that is established, which mentions the place where it will emerge. However, we have iman, we truly believe, that it will emerge from its place, which is known to the one who knows the hidden and the apparent. I mean, Allah the Most High knows its place, where it will come out from. So we believe that it will come out from that place, wherever it may be. Allah knows where that place is. But as for us, we believe that it will emerge. He said, he, the perfect, said, أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ. The same ayah, Surah An-Naml, 27th surah, ayah 82, with the explanation, we will bring out for them a beast from the earth. We will bring out from the earth a beast for them, which will speak to them. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this particular point. And just as a side point in addition, then Al-Qurtubi, in his explanation of Muslim, he mentions the same point that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned here, the same point that Dr. Hawi indicated. Al-Qurtubi said, they differ, I mean the people of knowledge, they differ about its form, the form of the beast of the earth. I mean, they've got different sayings, you'll find a large number of different sayings about what it will look like. He said, they differ about its form and from what place it will emerge. And they have many different sayings. But there is nothing with regard to any of that There is not, with regard to any of that, an authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for its description, and as for where it will appear, there's nothing authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as a second point, in addition to what occurs here, then Muslim reports in his Sahih, in Kitab al-Fitan, from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhuma, that he said, I heard Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, Inna awwal al-ayati khurujan, tulu'u shams min maghribiha, wa khurujud dabbati ala nasi duha, wa ayyuhuma ma kanat qabla sahibatiha, فَالْأُخْرَى عَلَىٰ إِثْرِهَا قَرِيبًا. From Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhuma, who said, I heard Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, the first of the signs to appear will be the appearance of the sun, or the rising of the sun, from its place of setting, and the emergence of the beast upon the people. It will come to the people, duha, in the forenoon, in the time before noon, in the late morning, forenoon. And whichever of these occurs before the other, then the other one will soon follow it. And just in case someone misunderstands that, then Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions that as for this hadith mentioning that the first of the signs to appear will be the sun arising from its place of setting, and then the Dajjal, or rather, then the Dabba, the beast, Ibn Kathir said, meaning the first of those signs which are not things which the people are accustomed to. I mean, two very strange things, two extraordinary things. And then he mentions, as for the other, what is well known, then with regard to the descent of the Dajjal and Isa and Ya'juj and Ma'juj, then all of these things will come before that. But these are things that people are accustomed to. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are tribes of people. Even though they are strange, but they are tribes of people. People are accustomed to that. Likewise, Isa was a man. And likewise, the Dajjal is a man. So this hadith meaning those things which people are not accustomed to. From those things, then it will be the appearance of the sun from its place of setting and the creature of the earth coming and speaking. والله أعلم والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد Any points of clarification? Yeah. With regard to the ayah from Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 158. أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. Or are they waiting until one of the signs of your Lord occurs? And that was explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself to mean the rising of the sun from its place of setting. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, that's hadith 4,636, and by Muslim, from a hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. And one of the signs of your Lord means the sign, that is, the rising of the sun from its place of setting. The third linguistic meaning, just I mentioned this was a side point, just a reminder of something we had before, under point 58, that Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned under point number 58, that the verb nadhara can have, and it has three different meanings, depending upon the context and the particle that comes along with it. So he said, it can mean, if it has nadhara ila, then it means al-mu'ayyana bil-absar. It means seeing something with the eyes. Which of course came under the point with regard to al-ru'ya, seeing Allah, that the believers will see Allah. إلى ربها ناظرة وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظر إلى ربها ناظرة. Surah Al-Qiyamah, the 75th surah, ayahs 22 to 23. That's the point that we had, point number 59. The ayah with the explanation, on the day of resurrection, some faces will be beaming, radiant, looking towards their Lord, looking upon their Lord. So that's what the first meaning, nadhara, illa, it's got the illa, looking upon. The Shaykh said, meaning, seeing with their eyes. The second meaning is, if it's nadhara, fi, looking into something, then the meaning is, at tafakkur, well, itibar, looking, reflecting upon something and thinking over something. And the third meaning is, if it doesn't have illa, it doesn't have fi, it's just nadhara, as occurs here in this ayah, hal yanzurun, then it means waiting, at tawakkuf wal intidhar, waiting and halting. There's a message here, a message for Abu Talha. Wa alaikum as-salam. If you are able to, I would be most grateful if you could reintroduce the asking of some questions at the start of the Durs for revision. If we remember, then in the depths of history, we used to ask some questions. Then when we found that the answers were not forthcoming, then we gave up asking the questions. There's no point asking questions if there are no answers. But the fact that questions are not answered is either a sign that people are extremely shy, and I don't believe brothers of this sort of age are that shy, basically. So the only other possibility is that they don't know the answers. I mean, revision has not been done. People have sat here, and things have not been memorized. There's two ways, as we know from the science of hadith, there are two ways to memorize something. Memorization by writing down and keeping good records, and memorization of the heart. So very few of us actually write things down, so then it's to be hoped that if we're not writing things down, that we're very good memorizers. But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case either, which is extremely unfortunate, because if we a book of this size, if we sit here for a year and a half, 2 years, and we go from start to finish, and then we get to the end of it and we can't remember a single thing, then we have really, to be honest, wasted a large part of our lives then, if we've remembered nothing. When we need a point, we can't remember it. That's most unfortunate. So that's basically why I stopped asking questions. Particularly when we had a handout with regard to the companions, the 10 best ones are the companions who we have love for, the 10 best companions, radiallahu anhum. And it's as if we can't be bothered to learn their names, their kunyas, when they lived, when they died, where they died, can't be bothered, or there's something going wrong somewhere. Wallahu musta'an. Then I'll take the advice and try again, inshallah, with the questions, on the condition that there's some answers this time, inshallah. Na'am. Sheikh didn't mention any examples. That obviously, with regard to Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafizullah, when he divided the signs of the hour into three categories, he mentioned the first category are the minor signs, and then he said, and they've already finished. Their meaning, in other words, those things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has foretold, which occurred, either during his lifetime or very soon after his death, or very soon thereafter, they occurred and they finished. Allahu a'lam. Allahu a'lam. Beyond that. There's a chance to make up for our shortcomings, inshallah. That the brothers are giving a handout here, which is four or five different handouts all put together. And it'd be a good test for this. Whoever wanted these questions, then they'll get them, inshallah. There's one, it's a handout of four or five different things: the lineage of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Adnan, the 10 companions from his paradise, yet again their names, kunyas, years of death, places of death, a timeline of when they died, the lineage, how they related back to the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then a list of the wives and the children of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the point is not necessarily that we learn every single point, and every, for example, learning 10 years of death might be difficult for some people. But learning a kunya of Abu Bakr, learning the name of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or learning that he died 2 years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so on, then surely this is not difficult. Learn that he died in Medina. Learn that Umar radiallahu anhu died in Medina, and so did Uthman radiallahu anhu, which is where they're buried. Surely this shouldn't be too difficult for us. And so on. Learning the names of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At least some of the wives, if not all of the wives, and the majority of their wives, at least know their names. And there should be a large amount of this should be learnable by everybody, inshallah, if there's such a word as learnable. So that's the handout the brother's prepared and he's handing out now, inshallah. With regard to the question, in the time of Isa alayhi salam, will he still have the same status in terms of how we address him? Will we be allowed to call him Prophet Isa? Are we allowed to address him as Prophet Isa? Then Allahu A'lam. I don't know. Ask a person of knowledge. All I know that's authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when he mentioned to his companions about the descent of Isa, he mentioned in the hadith authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani, if one of you reaches him, then convey my greetings of salam to him. Convey my greeting of salam to him. Beyond that, Allahu A'lam. And just as a further point, then with regard to the companions, what we have in front of us, this, out of the companions, all the companions who we must... As a part of our iman, we must have love for the companions, all of them, every single one of them. And out of them, as we had a short while ago, the best of them are these 10, the 10 promised paradise. They're the best. So out of all the companions we need to learn about, then these 10 are first and foremost. And this is the minimum amount of knowledge that you can learn about them: his name, his kunya, where he died, when he died. This is the minimum amount. Not to mention what we need to know beyond that, with regard to virtues of each one, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about them, what they did, the events that they did, how they defended the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battles, how they stood in front of him at the Battle of Uhud, and defended him with their hands and with themselves, some of them being killed, a number of them being killed defending him, others having their hands maimed, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying to them, "Awjaba Talha," Talha has made paradise binding for himself. And he's saying to, with regard to Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, that fire arrows, may my father and my mother be sacrificed for you, and so on, with regard to the narrations of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then we should be keen and eager to learn these things. And we should be keen and eager to learn about these people and to take them as an example for us in following in the way in which we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu musta'an. An application of the Sunnah, how they applied the Sunnah, how they stood firm in trials, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in difficulty, like at Uhud and elsewhere, how they stood firm and defended him, and when in times of difficulty and trials, there needs to be people from this Ummah who will stand firm for the Sunnah, who will not turn away. And then we should learn these things and take them as an example, inshallah. Wallahu al-musta'an. La remove. And كل الناس يدخلون في الإسلام. Remove يعني. وضع عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان و وما استكره عليه. الجزي موجود إلى ذلك الوقت يعني. يرفعه يعني. أي لأن أهل الكتاب يؤمنون به، الموجودين يؤمنون به، فلا يبقى إلا مسلم يعني. فلا يعني لا حاجة للجزية. As for a lot of what we learned in school with regard to Isa alayhi salam and his life and the what's called the Last Supper and Judas and so on, and of course what you learn from the Kafirs in their schools and the Christians in their schools, most of it is from their books, which have been distorted. So we, as for what we know authentically, then it's what occurs in the Quran with regard to him and what's mentioned in the Sunnah. And we withhold beyond that. As for what the people of the book mention, and, you know, Last Supper and details of that and so on, and then we withhold with regard to that. Just the point that we've taken in the book here is the point which the scholars are agreed upon, that the Dajjal is, as Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned here, the Dajjal is a man from Banu Adam, is a man from the descendants of Adam. And the Sheikh said he will be from the Jews, and he will indeed be the leader of the Jews. And he is the Messiah who the Jews are waiting for. All this time they've been waiting for this Messiah. It is a Dajjal, and when he comes, he will be their leader. So no doubt a Dajjal, as is clear from all the hadith, and as is mentioned by the scholars in explanation, he's a man. And as is clear from the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of him, that he is a man. Dajjal will be a man. That his right eye will be wiped, it will be wiped plain, it will not be there. And his left eye will be like a floating grape. And the clear authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, that Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal with a spear. And the narration that when the Dajjal sees Isa, he will flee and start dissolving as salt dissolves. And then Isa alayhi salam will kill him with a spear at the gate of Lud. So this is a man, as is clear from all these narrations, as the scholars have clearly mentioned, as we saw Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioning, he is a man. So as for the fools who say that he is not a man, he's television or something ridiculous, then this is from their foolishness, this is from the extreme Sufis, the ones who are not satisfied with the text of the book and the sunnah as they occur. They twist the text of the book and the sunnah, they're not satisfied with them. They're not satisfied with the scholar's explanation of the text of the book and the sunnah. They have to come with these foolish, ignorant explanations that the Dajjal is a television. Then how many televisions are there in the world? Allah musta'an. It's just foolishness. So if you hear someone saying the like of that, then beware of him. Beware of that fool. No, that he's not. Even if they claim knowledge for themselves, and if anyone is foolish enough to believe them in their claims, then as soon as they open their mouth and say things like this, then know that you're listening to, you know, an idiot, a fool. Allahu musta'an. As for the scholars, they mention the Dajjal, as Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned here, the Dajjal is a person, as occurs in the hadith reported by Muslim, the hadith of Tamim al-Dari, as we heard in a khutbah as well, not too many weeks ago, hadith of Tamim al-Dari, the companion Tamim al-Dari, radiallahu an, he mentioned that before they went on a journey on a ship, and actually the storm came and tossed them this way and that way, till they went way off course, and they hit an island. And they went onto the island, and they found a creature, was from head to toe, he was all wool, had wool all over him. Then he mentioned, as part of the hadith, it's a long hadith, as part of the hadith he mentioned, do you want to see something really strange? Then go to that monastery up there. And he went to the monastery and he saw a huge person, chained from head to toe, with chains from his neck down to his toes, he was chained up. And that was the Dajjal. As is clear from the hadith, and the scholars explain as well, clear, that was the Dajjal. So at the moment he's chained up, but later on he will come out. So don't think if you walk past a television shop then you look in the window and you see the Dajjal in the window of the television shop. Allah musta'an. It's foolishness. Evildoers. And this shows you what happens when the people like the Sufis, when they turn away from the Islamic legislation, they turn away from the text of the book and the Sunnah, they think there's some other more important knowledge somewhere else with the ones that they take to be their awliya, then this is where they end up, believing foolishness like this. Wallahu musta'an. Ibn Kathir, with regard to the ayah, on the last point, Surah An-Naml, 27th Surah, ayah 82, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. The explanation, and when the word of punishment becomes binding upon them, then we'll bring out of the earth a beast for them. Then Ibn Kathir mentioned, meaning at the end of time, when the people will become totally corrupt, they will have abandoned Allah's commands, and altered the true religion. Let's see, you find this in Tafsir ibn Kathir, of that ayah. I didn't mention any minor signs. Oh, that's what Sheikh mentioned as the medium sign, yeah? In between signs, yeah. All right. So Sheikh Fawzan, with regard to the lesser signs, he didn't mention some of the lesser signs. He mentioned the second category, some of the medium signs, intermediate signs. He said it's like that which continues to appear in less time of hours with regard to advancement of industries or advancement of things which are manufactured. And different means of communication, the advancement of means of communication, and treasures being extracted from the earth. And towns or cities being brought close together. To the extent that the whole world is now as if it were a single village. Obviously, in the old days, if you want to get from one capital city to another capital city, it's going to take you, weeks or months riding and the like. Now, a few minutes and you're there. You get on a plane, a few minutes later, you're in one capital to another capital. Then he mentioned, and lastly, and the gathering of the Jews in Palestine to await the Dajjal. And as a preparation for the great wars which will occur there. No. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Extra time. And with regard to the question, tell us more about what it says about Isa being raised to the heavens. Did the roof open from the house he was in? Was he raised without the kuffar seeing him? And Allahu A'lam. These are matters that we can only know these matters. We were not present, of course. We can only know these matters in an authentic report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we don't have any such authentic report. So all that we have is reports from the people of the book, contradictory reports from the people of the book, and some other narrations. Well, so Allahu Alam. We don't need these sort of details. Allahu Alam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.